There were times where I was laughing, and there were times when I was really wincing.
I'm told by my colleagues I'm full of rage. My kids don't say that, so that's good. My students don't say that. I'm grumpy. I'm grumpy. I mean, I'm a soccer mom. I'm all that. But I find, you can tell from reading the book, I'm a little concerned about a few things.
It's mostly two women.
We're looking at, basically, it's a book built on three asks, like three wishes. There's three times when the Prime Minister of Canada, within 2008 and the end of 2009, has to receive the Governor General's blessing for a snap election or a couple of prorogations. Must have this. And to make sure that the Governor General, and this is fiction, this is a novel, to make sure the Governor General follows the letters patent, but also listens to the PMO. He's brought in his wife, Becky Leggett, a redhead, a great mother of three kids, a university-age daughter, to, kind of work with the Governor General to make sure that things conform to his plan. So it's basically looking at two housewives, as close as a jog apart, but farther than a cup of sugar apart, both living on Sussex Drive, and how their lives interweave, and particularly during these three occasions.
So we have the female governor general, who's yes. Michel Jean-esque, except from instead of being from Haiti, she's from Africa.
She's from Saint-Bertrand, Africa, fictional country. Yeah, and she's kind of a mix, I think, of Serena Williams, the tennis star, and Zadie Smith, the British novelist. And she's an economic immigrant. Her parents were wealthy. And she's been involved in philanthropic work with a little organization called We Care, O-U-I, Care. And her husband is an actor, a Quebecois actor. And she's quite madly in love with him. And her first husband was a First Nations activist who mysteriously drowned.
Becky, the wife of the Prime Minister, there are times when she's like the happy soccer mom, and there are times when she's Lady Macbeth.
Thank you. Yeah, she's a stealth weapon. She can wake up in the morning and she's singing, to the song I Feel Pretty, Majority, Majority. I mean, she's singing from her husband's song sheet. And she believes in it deeply. But what happens in the novel is, after a while, I think she starts to question the tactics that are being used. And I think she's looking at the big picture of her life and her family's life. And the question is, how does a mom, or how does this prime minister's wife, continue to play follow the leader when she doesn't believe in it anymore?
The prime minister kind of like Stephen Harper, except without nearly so much personality.
He's a very determined, I've never written a character quite like him, where usually I'm able to find the beating heart in every character. I mean, I go back to George Eliot and finding the squirrel's heartbeat in Middlemarch and all of that. I suspect it's there, but my prime minister in the novel has a real goal, and he really wants to succeed at it.
Sometimes you get so caught up in the excitement of the story that you forget that it's a satire. And then there are times when you're so caught up in the satire that when something happens, you're like, oh, there's a plot here happening at the same time. It's not just... So how did you manage to get both those pistons going?
When I'm writing and I'm in Becky's head or Lisa's head, I'm kind of going with what they're doing and what they're wanting in that particular chapter, what's going on for them. And then other times... The book is, I know, quite dark in other places and very serious. When Lise is in Saint-Bertrand in Africa and visiting the slave depot, and also her trip into Afghanistan, and the Herc is going to be used to carry a Canadian soldier back to Canada right after they step out of it. That's all very respectful and very serious. And I think the book ultimately... it has its light moments, but I think ultimately the message of the book is the tone can be quite dark. And I'm comfortable with that because their lives are like that. They might be, you know, cutting a ribbon one day and getting their hair done to go to the awards ceremony, but they're dealing with families who've lost a child in Afghanistan, or they're meeting women's groups in Africa, and maybe while the trade mission is going on over there, they're meeting people who are impoverished and hungry and have medical issues and all of that. And I think it must be, for people in public office, it must be a tremendous balancing act to keep your poise and to keep your soul. Because for what they have to carry, not only with dealing with their own families back home, and we all know how intensely busy we are with our kids and our, you know, whatever shape our careers are in, to do that and then go out and put on a public face and look at people who are, you know, in far deeper horror than we even know about, I think it takes quite a human being to do that. So I couldn't write the book only about getting a manicure to go to the Museum of Civilization, or whatever it's called now. It had to be about what I surmised it would be like to carry that load. And I think it's a heavy load.
The book is Sussex Drive, a novel. I've been speaking with the author, Linda Svensson, and Sussex Drive, published by Random House of Canada.